Tired Swords, a podcast made of sugar, spice, and everything nice.
Hey everybody, thank you for joining us for another episode. Just kidding, that was fast.
Just jumping right in it, guys.
And here we go. Ramp it up. Okay, but for real, you guys
ready? I really hope Derek is actually just continuing that smile.
Yeah, now I can see him. He's slightly shifting.
That was good, man.
Oh, man.
I knew he couldn't stay that way that long. Too long.
You look behind him and the fan is just spinning.
Yeah. All right, you ready? Here we go.
Yep.
Thank you, one and all, for joining us for another episode of the Hired Swords. I'm your Dungeon Master, Michael, and joining me today, I have Ash playing Gwendolyn.
Howdy doody.
Duty. I also have Mikey playing Joxer.
Hey, do you remember how we walked upstairs? We totally walked upstairs.
Good job doing that. We also have Derek playing Davin.
Duty howdy.
Hey.
I get it.
Nothing.
Like, no, but it's backwards duty. From you, so it's different.
Blazes Creeks.
Yeah, I remember that time when I was like, I'd go first in these roll calls. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm mixing it up. I do what I want. When we last left off, we were still in Lonely Hill, and we walked up some stairs and then went to bed. In between the path of stairs to bed, we had some levitating across river. The river, we had some discovering a couple new items in a little bit more thorough search of the rooms on the stair side of the river here in Lonely Hill. And then on the other side of the river, we did find a fountain. This fountain seemed to be flowing with some sort of magical water or water with magical properties, giving some hit points and who knows what else. We had a really clever, just fantastic term or phrase that the DM came up with that the players ruined by making it feel like an IKEA sign. But it was, if you're not living, live. If you're alive, live longer, instead of live, laugh, love. That's not what it is.
It's really more of a Pottery Barn thing than IKEA.
Okay, Pottery Barn. Got it.
Kirkland's, I mean, can someone, Elfkia was brought up earlier, and that's true. It was still too good.
Elfkia was good. A good one. That's right. Blaze, we got to give you credit.
That was mine. It was. Sign my name on that joke.
That was yours.
And,
good.
And oh, it feels good.
That's good. That's good. And
Pottery Bard. No, never
Pottery
mind.
Pottery Bard.
All right. So the episode of just, you know, trying to make similar D&D referenced IKEA and.
Home store D&D puns. It'll be good. And yeah, so after that, Gwen had a pretty fun conversation with Davin. Davin trying to show that he's going to protect her, and they're, you know, just checking in on her and her responding in only the way Gwendolyn can. And then Gwendolyn showing Kriggs kind of how her abilities kind of work and talking to these plants that are in this fountain and really getting the fountain to open up and begin to pour out this powerful water even more. After that, they went to bed. Joxer stayed up and kept watch. And as he kept watch, everybody started to settle in and go to sleep. And then Joxer heard a whisper. He heard a voice calling to him that said,
"Psst, psst, come here."
Do I see anything, or am I just...
You do not currently see anything, but you can make a perception check to see how well you hear where it's coming from.
Yeah. I'd like to kind of get an idea there. And that is not great. That is a 5 + 1. So that's a good old 6.
So it sounds like all you get is it's coming from outside this room. And so as you sit kind of in the corner of the room, you hear it coming through the doorway that exits this bunkhouse room that everyone's laying in with all these bunk beds. They're sleeping on what leftover mattresses are there. The fungus and everything still growing around. And you can hear it kind of, it sounds like it's coming from that direction, but no, you don't have any real pinpoint of where exactly.
I'll give like just a glance at everybody. And if I'm still hearing a little bit of snoring, and I'll just kind of think to myself, I think I think everybody needs a minute to themselves. And then I'll kind of peek my head around outside the door and see if maybe I see mushroom people or some other end of...
As you look out the doorway, there's a doorway right across the hall. These doors are parallel with each other. And you've been in that room. That's the kind of the dining hall area. And standing just inside that door, you see the figure of a young woman. And she is all white. Looks like her hair is flowing in wind that you can't feel. You don't see a face, really. It's just kind of this pale white. She's almost ethereal and see-through. It's like if you look just right, she seems like she's not there, but she is. And she turns and walks away from you towards the table across the room that you're looking into through the doorway. And she reaches her hand back and with her fingers gestures you to follow her.
Yeah, so instinctively, I'll kind of look back at everybody and make sure that no one's stirring. And then just kind of relax, like the tenseness that was around me previously kind of just drops. And I'll just kind of walk in that direction. I'll reach kind of towards that hand or at least kind of like get in that direction and as close as I can.
Okay, so as you start to head towards her, she walks over and you walk into that room behind her. And as you stand in the doorway, she gestures to the mushrooms on the floor behind her. And then she sits down and she turns to you and imagine as you look at her, like her, the essence that creates her, that is her existence. It's almost like a flowing white light that's stirring. And as she reaches towards you, you see the stirring in the where her face would be. And she motions you and points down to those mushrooms. And as she does, she waves her hand across the table as she sits down on the bench at this like picnic table. There's one bench that's fully intact and the other one's broken down, but she sits on the intact one. She waves her arm across the table in front of her. And as she does, light kind of covers the table. And as the light fades, as her seconds after her hand passes, the light there fades and left is two teacups. And she points back down to the mushrooms and gestures to the teacups as if to ask you to brew her something.
Yeah, so I'll go over and kind of sift through what mushrooms I see and try to find what I feel doesn't feel like an older or something that doesn't look like it's bad, and I'll start kind of like grinding it down. And I normally have some kind of bottles on me, and I'll try to take some of those liquids in, and I'll kind of see, is there anything in this room that, since it was kind of that kitchen, is there anything that I could actually maybe even put like this water or anything in to actually brew something?
Yeah, there are sitting at the end of the table, between the end of the table and the wall, there's another smaller table, which one leg is broken as it's super wobbly, but on the edge, on the side where the legs are not broken, there is a bowl about the size of like a one serving, like one person serving bowl there. And there's several utensils out, fork, knife kind of stuff as well.
Yeah, so I'll start kind of grabbing that, and I'll do a little prestidigitation to get a little bit of a fire and maybe just try to get some form of, I'd say, like a brewed tea in and see if okay. I could
do your brew rolls for me.
Okay.
Your normal rolling. And as you do that, Davin, you're standing on a stone gray floor. The sky above you is gray and blue with rolling clouds that are almost always backlit with lightning. There's a constant low rumble of thunder, accentuated every few seconds with the crack of a lightning strike. The strikes rise and fall randomly all around this landscape, shooting up from the ground, shooting down from the sky as this gray landscape spreads out around you as far as you can see. You're surrounded with these blue flashes of light. Please make a perception check.
14 plus 1 is a 15.
So you stare out into the expanse and you see one of the flashes of lightning not 20 feet away from you. It flashes, and as the flash fades away, you see the figure of a humanoid person. And in the split second, in that burst of energy, you see golden eyes bearing down on you. And this creature, this humanoid person's arm raises up and lifts up a fist next to its own head. And suddenly this forked weapon appears in its hand, and it begins running at you. Roll initiative.
Well, this doesn't seem fair. Oh no. 8.
So as you look out and you see this creature, this person begin to run towards you, they are this tall humanoid man. His skin is pale blue and his eyes are shining gold. You can almost see veins through his skin as every muscle in his body is tense. His top half he's not wearing a shirt or anything like, or a tunic or anything like that. His bottom half is like a knee length Roman style skirt almost, with the leather straps coming down off of it. On his head he's wearing this wrap around his head that comes from behind and almost touches in the front of his forehead, and it's lightning bolts. And his skin is pale, a pale blue, and you can, like I said, see sparks and flashes of light in his veins as every muscle in his body is tense as he's running towards you. His mouth opens to roar a battle cry, and sparks flash between his pure white teeth. And he says,
"I've been trapped here for too long. You will let me out, or I will end you."
And he makes an attack with this trident weapon. An 18 to hit.
I'm going to cast shield.
Okay.
Which makes a miss.
All right, so his first attack is a miss as the trident comes down on you, and the magical energy you cast shield as it almost bounces off. And as with the momentum of his hand bouncing off that magical shield, he twists and flips the trident over to be the other direction in his hand and stabs at your gut with it for his second attack. That one is only that was a 19.
Still misses.
And so as that one bounces off, it backs up and he says,
"The god of the storm is enraged with you,"
and just stands almost an entire 2 feet taller than you, ready to swing another attack. What are you going to do?
I am going to take just a short step back, just almost and like just unready for this attack that's coming out of nowhere. I'm like, I thought I was sleeping. And I am going to cast invisibility on myself.
Okay, cool. And so, all right, you cast invisibility, and what did you do anything else after that?
Yes, I'm going to use one sorcery point to quicken spell it so I can do it as a bonus action. And then as my action, I'm going to disengage and I'm going to move away from him. And I'm just going to basically run 30 feet in a random direction away from him.
Okay, great. So you begin to back up away from him as you see him frantically looking around to see where you are. And as you begin to run away, he's looking and trying to find you. And he reaches his hand up to the sky and he clasps his fist and he just looks up and just screams at the sky. Rah! And when he does, lightning strikes all around the area you're running. And I'm going to roll to see if he just happens to hit you with an attack here.
Okay.
With disadvantage, as he's just kind of getting the area he thinks you might be in. A 12 and a 2, so it's 10 total to hit.
Nope.
Yeah, so the lightning strikes all around you, and the stone ground kind of pieces of stone fly up as the lightning hits, leaving little, as it leaves little divots in the ground around you, and the smell of this burnt stone like sulfur begins to enter your nose, and you stand there invisible, and we will take your turn when we come back to you in just a minute. Next up is Gwendolyn. Gwendolyn, you are sitting in the front yard of your small cottage near the forests of Frostfount.
Okay.
The green grass of your yard is speckled with yellow and white flowers, making your home look like a painting.
Oh.
You know it's close to dinner time, but you've heard your mother call your name twice to come in and eat, but you've noticed a stranger standing at the edge of your cottage property with the twilight of sunset behind him. You realize this is a memory, not a dream. So being drawn by the recollection of your past, you approach the man. What do you say to him as you approach?
Hello.
Hello, young one.
Who are you?
Your father sent me.
You knew my father?
Yes. He asked me to give you this,
and he hands you a small little box, like the size of a shoebox, tied with a string on top of it, with a lid that is, you know, slid over the top, tied down with a string. It tells you your father asked him to give you this.
Little Gwendolyn goes to reach for it. I should go tell Mom.
Yes, but I have a message from him. Do you want to hear it?
From my father?
Yes. Yes, he says he misses you, and he thinks of you every day, and he hopes that he will see you again really soon.
You see a confused Gwendolyn, because at this point, she's always known that he's dead. Are you sure you talk to my father? Because Mama, she told me that he's gone to the skies.
I traveled a long way to tell you this.
And
I wanted you to have this to keep him close to you.
Gwendolyn opens up the box.
Okay. As you untie the string, you open the box, you see a taxidermied chipmunk inside the box. And this is when you finally look up at the guy, the stranger, and you just make out the really attractive features, the really just gorgeous features of an elven person. And they again say, he said he loves you very much. I must go. And as they had been on a knee talking to you at kind of at your level, they stand up. They're dark blue robes. They have a hood up over their head. They stand up and they turn and begin to walk away.
I think I'll call you Dale. Mom! And I start to run off towards my mom.
Okay, back to the turn to run off towards your mom and Kriggs. Sofren, you hear a humming noise. Just this obnoxious hmm. And it wakes you up. And you look around and you see Gwyn kind of tossing and turning, and Davin looks to be in a deep, deep sleep, and you don't see Joxer in here, but you hear this dull, annoying humming sound. Make a perception check.
Yeah, that sounds terrible. No. 14. Hold on. Yeah, 14. 15. Yeah, character sheets.
So you look around and you finally, after a couple seconds, are able to kind of narrow down the this sound coming from, where the sound is coming from, and it's from your pile of belongings that you've kind of set a little ways away from where you're laying down to sleep. And what do you do as you realize that's where it is? It's just right over there.
I think I start to, I pick it up, but like I'm picking it up, picking through it in such a way that you might pick up something stinky, just fingertips and holding it out in front of you, just kind of pilfering through, trying to figure out what is making this sound.
As soon as you approach your belongings, you reach down to start picking through everything, your hammer is humming and glowing a bright greenish glow. And it's bright as in like a whitish green, not like so bright it's lighting up the room. It's this green glow and this dull hum, and it starts to get louder and louder. And before you can grab this hammer, as you reach for it, it rises, levitating in front of you, almost just the head of the hammer right at eye level with you. And the green inlay in the handle begins, all the glowing begins to shift to that green inlay in the handle, and the humming gets louder and louder. Make a constitution saving throw.
Okay. I am absolutely, I dipped, dived and dodged whenever that thing shot up, because I was not expecting it to come at me. That's a 7, but I got my con mod is 3, so 10.
The hammer pulses this radiant green glow as it pulses over you. You shake your head and try to absorb this radiant heat, and it hits you as you kind of try to absorb it. It hits you right in the gut, and this burning sensation sends you unconscious. You fall down, and you can't. You lose consciousness. Seconds later, you wake up again in this dark room. You don't see your hammer anywhere, but you hear this hum in the distance again. Now we're going to go back to Joxer. Joxer, what was the success or failure, whatever, of your role?
Yeah, yeah. So just for those listening, it's like a D100. The lower the number, the more kind of like beneficial. The higher the number, the more, I guess, inebriating or negative effects. And so I rolled a 94. It's like 90 or minus a stat for a day kind of thing. So highly, highly potent. But then I was able to kind of create an extra potion in that. So it's kind of like a D4 minus 2 for those. Interesting.
Okay. So as you begin to make your tea and create this, just the skill that you've learned and you have established, you sit down with this tea and you share it with this woman who's sitting there next to you, and she reaches out and she grabs it and she takes a sip. And for the first time, as she takes that sip and then she looks at you, you see eyelids open, and where her eyes are slowly morph into these black empty sockets. And then she blinks a few times, and finally those sockets fill with deep blue pupil-less eyes. You see glistening specks in these eyes, like stars sparkling in the sky. She places her hand across the table and touches you on the face and strokes your cheek with her thumb. Her brow furrows over her eyes, and you hear in your mind she speaks and says,
"Will you come with me?"
I don't think that I would be able to speak in that moment. I imagine that there would be just kind of this physical and kind of emotional agreement. Just a very, very slow nod of, I will come with you.
She's almost... right before you nod, it's like she sensed your desire to say yes, and she stands up almost startlingly quickly, and as she stands, her standing continues. It's like she doesn't jump, but she's on the table instead of sitting at the table as she finishes standing. And she puts her hand down for you to join her on top of the table, standing.
Yeah, I'll immediately step up and take her hand and try to get up there with her.
So as you climb up onto the table, she opens her arms as if to ask for an embrace from you. Do you embrace her?
Yes. I would embrace her.
So as you reach to embrace, she embraces you back and you feel this belonging and you feel a sense of acceptance. Like you've proven yourself, worked so hard to prove yourself for so long, and it was never required in the first place. You're just accepted. And she says, not even though she leans her head in and you feel the essence of her at your ear as it like lips whispering into your ear, but you hear it in your head, not in your ears. And she says,
let go. Let go of hate. Let go of helplessness. You think it makes you strong, but it makes you weak. You think you don't belong, but you do. You belong with me.
And she leans back as fast as she can, pulling you with her. Make a wisdom saving throw.
Okay. That is a whopping 2+3, 5. Bye, guys.
So as she leans back, you feel yourself lose your balance and you can't maintain standing on this table. And it doesn't matter because the table evaporates anyway. And so does the ground below you and everything between here and who knows what eternity maybe begins to be sucked away from beneath you to where you are just falling. Davin.
Yes.
It's your turn. What are you going to do? He missed with the lightning.
He just hears a voice coming from a distance a little ways away from him. It says, stop fighting me. This is not how it works. And then I'm going to cast Polymorph on him. He has to make a wisdom saving throw.
All right. Wisdom.
It's a 17. Saving missed a beat. Throw.
He has to make a what? Oh, what's the?
17.
Nope. That's a 13.
Okay. Then he just turns into a little turtle on the ground.
Oh, wait. Hang on, though. He has advantage. He has magic resistance. That was worse. So he turns into what?
He just turns into a little turtle on the ground.
Shoot. Okay.
And then cool. Davin, because of concentration, he loses the invisibility. And he just casually walks up and he kind of just kneels down on the ground and looking at him says, Alec, right? It's nice to finally meet you in person. But listen, this is not the deal, all right? You're supposed to stay here and just be here. This is mine now. So I need you to stop fighting me. Stay where you are. You said yourself, we need to work together. So if you want to do something, help me, all right? But stop fighting me. And let me go back to wherever it was. I'm leaving here, all right?
What the hell?
The lightning picks up, just flashing thunder all around you. This rage of storm above you begins to just pick up and just bellow at you. And a massive flash of lightning shoots down and penetrates your chest. It just pierces straight through you. And you are lifted up into the sky by this lightning. And you're just flopping there, just suspended in air by this lightning through the middle of your gut. Gwendolyn.
No, let's go back to Alec over there.
Hello, friends. Man, I'm so thankful you guys listen to our podcast. It's so cool to see that you guys are enjoying what we do here, because we sure do have a good time. But if you have not decided yet or haven't found us on Twitter or Facebook, I just want to invite you to do that at The Hired Swords. We do things like giveaways, stuff like that. You could ask Oliver the Kid on Twitter. He won our most recent giveaway. He won some super cool dice and a dice vault and some stuff like that. So we do stuff like that on there, plus just chat, have fun, and you know, talk to the people who like our show and like other kinds of Dungeons & Dragons and TTRPG things. You also, if you want to talk with just those that enjoy our show especially, you can follow the pinned tweet on Twitter, and that's going to lead you to our Discord server where you can join us for all kinds of different conversations. We talk about tubes. We talk about pets. We talk about sports, kind of. We talk about all kinds of role-playing game things. So yeah, I recommend you check that out as well. You'll love it. It's pretty interesting. Also, I just want to tell you briefly about the software we use to record our podcast. It's called Zencastr. And Zencastr is really awesome. It's been really useful for us and really helpful. What it does is it records professional quality audio and video right into your browser and allows the host to download those files once you finish recording them so that they can edit them together. It records it all in one place and doesn't require recording over the internet, therefore taking away any kind of noticeable lag or latency and stuff like that. It works really well for us. We've used it for a while. You can just sign up at zen.ai/thehiredswords. That's zen, Z-E-N, .ai/thehiredswords. You get a 14-day free trial of a pro account. Then if you decide to sign up after that, you will help our podcast out a little bit and get 30% off. So thank you so much for listening. Again, go check out that Zencastr link. That's zen.ai/thehiredswords. And follow us on all of the places. Enjoy the rest of the show. Bye.
Go ahead.
You're running in to go tell your mom about your new stuffed friend. And you open the door. And when you open the door, you're sitting cross-legged on the grass in a forest floor. You're older now. You're more knowledgeable. Even at the ripe old age of 12, you still clutch Dale as you listen intently to the elder druid in front of you, sitting across, cross-legged like you are, explain how you could hear the voice of plant life in the woods. The stately older elf is animated in her description of the way the land can communicate. She places her hand on the dirt and nods at you and your classmates. You look at the circle around you. You see an elven boy. You see another elven child, and they're all dressed in the same brown school tunic that you all have to wear, a rope tied across their waist, each of them with a walking stick laid across their lap, just like you have one. She lifts her hand and invites you all to put your hands down on the ground like she does. Several of the other students place their hands in front of them, and you reluctantly follow. You weren't really listening, but you feel the vibrations in the earth below nonetheless. It vibrates. There's vibration beneath you, this shaking, and it causes a stirring inside of you. Make a wisdom saving throw.
I don't know if I like this. Oh, no. I rolled a natural one.
Okay, so...
All right.
As you start to sense the vibration beneath you, and you open one eye and you look at the other students to see how they're getting along, and a couple of them, it looks like they have a couple of little sprouts of root sticking out of the ground looking at them, and another one across the way has a flower growing out of the ground in front of them that wasn't there when you first looked. And so you close your eyes again and you focus harder, and you suddenly hear bursting out of the ground. This, you open your eyes and this vine shoots up from behind your teacher and wraps around her. And these limbs from the vine spread out and they smack all the kids that are sitting around you and push them away from the circle, interrupting their spell, causing whatever plant life they were communing with to shoot down into the ground. And your teacher is now hovering in front of you, looking at you, and begins to say, "You stop it! You stop it right now! You cannot do this again!" And you wrap a vine around her mouth and nose and create a little portion for her nose to come out, and you set her back down on the ground, still wrapped in this vine. What are you going to do now?
Gwendolyn looks around. I don't think I did that. Look, I actually did this. And she's pointing at grass that was already there.
When you lose, you stop focusing and you stop thinking about the other students and the teacher and paying attention to what they're doing, and you start thinking about that grass, the vine falls off of the teacher and shoots back down into the ground. And the teacher stands up and walks over to you angrily, reaches down and grabs your arm and lifts you up like you, like a little kid getting pulled up to be taken to the principal's office. And Kriggs.
What's up?
You just woke up in this room. You hear talking in her sleep, or talking in his sleep, Davin saying something about a deal. It's hard to make out because he's mumbling. And you look around the room a little bit, and it's just, everything feels kind of weird, and it's just strange. And you hear this humming in the distance out the door. What are you going to do?
Do I still remember being lambasted by my hammer a second ago? Is that absolutely still in my memory?
Yeah, that's definitely the first thing you think of when you wake up is, whoa, what was that? What happened? What did it do?
Okay. I am going to walk up to Davin, and I'm assuming Gwyn is also in a bed there, and I'm just going to quickly check on them and make sure that, sure, they might be tossing and turning, but I want to make sure that they weren't seemingly injured by whatever my hammer decided to do. And if they're fine, I'm going to seek the source of that hum.
Yeah, so Davin is still just kind of mumbling under his breath. Gwyn is giggling, laying there giggling a little bit, and you imagine she's just having sweet dreams. And yeah, so you can follow that out the door. Make a perception check as you try to figure out where this is coming from.
Okay. That's an 18.
Yeah, it's definitely coming from down the hall where you entered in when you first arrived here. It's out the door from where you are to the left through another doorway into that little round room that had the hole that went up to the outside. You hear it's somewhere that direction.
Yeah, I'm definitely headed there trying to track it down.
So you go through the hallway and you get into that round room, and in the center of this room there is a, on the ground, first of all, your hammer is hovering in the middle of the room and spinning just fast, with the head of the hammer facing up and the handle facing down. It's just spinning, and this greenish gold glow is emanating from your hammer as it just spins around in the middle of this room. And underneath it, you see this spiral design, this spiral growth of fungus and flowers and grass that is formed underneath the hammer, that as this hammer is spinning underneath it, these things are kind of waving and wafting as if wind is blowing over the flowers and the grass, and your hammer is just spinning in the middle of the room.
Well, this is terrifying. I know we've had quite the journey. I'm talking to my hammer. It.
As well, you talk to it,
yeah,
the light begins to grow and get brighter, and the humming begins to get quieter and quieter as the light gets brighter and brighter.
I'm gonna regret this. I walk up to it and I just try my I feel like it's not going to hold well, but I'm going to try to grab it.
So as you walk towards it, the hammer, you can kind of see the handle of the hammer is like leaning, almost like it's starting to angle towards your hand as you're reaching out for it. The thing's just spinning fast. And just the power of the spin and the radiance of the light, you have to cover your eyes. And as you begin to walk on the grass beneath it to get to it, because the whole room is now filled with this plant. But as you go to take a step, the plant life at your feet parts and you step on stone ground. And then when you lift your foot, the plant life begins to appear again underneath your foot and or where your foot had been. And you walk up to it and you're just kind of trying to reach and grab it and make a constitution saving throw as you try to grab it.
All right. 21.
21. 21. So you successfully take hold of this thing. And when you do, you watch as the green energy and power that is in this hammer just pours out of the hammer into your hand. And as it pours, it goes through your arm and you watch it just like, it's like it's crawling on you. And it's like it's almost like it's consuming you, and it wraps around your body, and it goes across your shoulders to the other side, the other arm, and wraps around your fingers. And it's like you're being just engulfed in this green, glowing, radiant energy.
Does it hurt?
And it does not seem to hurt, in fact, no. And the hammer, it feels like this hammer is stuck to your hand forever. And you actually, though, you release the hammer with your hand, like trying not to hold it. But it looks as if it is stuck to the symbol that is burned into your hand from your previous deity. And it's stuck to that symbol glowing a golden light out of your hand. And you're getting completely engulfed in this. And that's going to take us back to Joxer, I believe.
Just having a little rave, don't mind me.
I just imagine with that like low wisdom, I've just accepted wherever I'm falling, I am falling happy.
Yeah, so you begin to fall and you continue to fall, and suddenly you fall through what seems to be ages and ages of history. You're falling head first, looking downwards, and you see rising up to you towns, cities, forests, mountain ranges. Each one seems to be a sudden stop at the end of your fall. But instead, you fall right through these cities and forests and mountains, entire landscapes dissolving before you as you, right when you would land on it. Her voice echoes again inside your mind.
There is so much more. More to know, more to explore. Let's learn it all. Together, let's grow together. Let's grow and fall. We can fall for knowledge. We can fall in love.
And with a childish giggle, she vanishes, and you find yourself falling alone. You see a forest rising up towards you. The ground beneath is glistening with almost a glitter-like essence, and you brace yourself for impact, but just before you hit, you're turned upright. And as if being lowered on a rope, you step onto the ground. You blink yourself back to consciousness and you hear her voice again, and she says,
"It's time. Prepare yourself. Come to this place again. You may not stay, but for now, come visit me."
Make a constitution saving throw.
5 + 4 = 3 + 1 = 9.
Yeah, so as you look around, you blink and try to make sense of what you're seeing, and it starts to fade, and you like are grasping in your mind for this to stay, for you to be able to comprehend and see what all this is that you're here for and what you're doing, but it begins to fade away, and as it fades, you find yourself standing on the table in the room in Lonely Hill, just looking at the stone walls with fungus, and you're standing alone.
Again, so many questions. I need to get back there. I need to ask you. I will get back there. And I'll just slowly step down from the table, and I'll probably just sit there. Is what I brewed actually there still?
No, there's nothing there.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'll just end up like sitting at that table for as long. I don't think I can sleep. Like, I just don't.
You
don't,
actually don't feel like you need to.
Yeah, at all. I can't. So I'm just sitting there, and I'm just sitting there.
Awesome. And next, I went to Gwyn, right? Davin next. See, I've lost track. I should have wrote down my order here. Davin,
shame.
You are, I know, you're hovering in the sky with this lightning bolt shot through you, being suspended, and make a constitution saving throw.
All right. I'm using my metal dice since it's, that was a bad idea, I think. 13.
So this energy of this radiant energy and lightning electrical energy is shooting through you, pulsating your hands. You look and your hands have electric bolts like shooting out of your fingers. And it's just like Count Dooku style. It's just, you know, and out of your feet and everything in it's taking everything inside of you to keep from just coming apart into pieces. And you're feeling this, your whole body, it's pulsating through you, and it's like torture, but it only lasts a second, even though it feels like it's endless. And then you are shot down into the ground. And as you hit the ground, it opens up beneath you and crumbles away. Just like creating this trench, this hole in the ground where you land, and the rain starts to fall from the sky above, and you're in this sinkhole, and mud and water starts to pour from either side. No matter how hard you try, you're trying to climb out, and you just, it's slick and you can't climb out. And then you hear a voice, and this voice is different as it echoes in the rumbles of thunder above you, and you hear, "Accept this. Accept my boon. You have defeated my champion." And then bam, another bolt of lightning shoots down from above and catches the water around you, filling this whole space that you're in with blue and white light. Make another constitution saving throw.
All right. Natural one.
So you feel like you're being ripped into 1,000 pieces, just shredded into 1,000 people or people pieces. And as you're being, as this energy shoots out of you, you suddenly wake up in this bed in the cave of Lonely Hill. And there is a spark of electricity and lightning still shooting up from the inside your body, and you feel it in your mouth as it sparks, and you shake it off and look around only to see Gwendolyn laying next to you, sleeping, not right next to you, in the bed next to you, the other bed across the way.
Whoa.
I'm not creating any kind, I'm not shipping anyone in this story.
You're like a sister to me. Now come to bed.
That's a weird pickup line.
Very weird.
God.
Gwendolyn.
Yeah.
As you have been, you're the last memory in this, what you're experiencing here, you've been dragged away like you're going to the principal's office, and you are now sitting in a room, and it is just a empty white stone room. And you're by yourself and you look around and there's no doors, there are no windows. There doesn't seem to be a way out or anything. What are you going to do?
Do I have Dale with me?
You check yourself and you look to see what you've got. And yeah, you have your bag and Dale, and you realize it's you. It's now you. It's not kid you or 12-year-old you, like little bitty kid you or 12-year-old you. It's you, grown as Gwen is Gwen.
I pull Dale out. Where are we?
You hear in your mind, oh, silly, we're asleep in Lonely Hill.
I look down at Dale. Is he moving?
He is not.
Okay, just checking. No, I know we're sleeping, but like, what is this room? And I walk around it.
Make an investigation check as you walk around.
Okay, hopefully it's not one. Ooh, my heart sank for a second. 17 plus 2.
As you look around, you see that there are no signs of a doorway at all. But Dale says to you, maybe it's magic?
I cast. Oh, I don't have it. I took it off. I don't have to detect magic. I'm going to cast dispel magic.
Okay, so you cast dispel Sick. Magic at what level?
Level 3.
Okay, so sure enough, when you cast dispel magic, the wall right in front of you, a archway door in the stone appears. It's still made of the same white stone, but you can now see a crease in the doorway, and you can tell that's an actual, like, a door that you could get through if it was open.
See, I knew where I was going. It's this way. And she starts to go through the door.
You go for the door. There's no handle. There's no any. It doesn't. You don't know how. There seems to be no way to open this door.
I push.
It is very heavy. Make a strength check.
Michael. We know that's not my strongest suit.
Oh.
How's a 4?
You're pushing and you're pushing and you hear Dale say, will you stop it? Can we talk, please?
You stop it. How did I even get here? And what do you want to talk about? I just dreamed that a man handed you in a box, and that's not true. Mom told me stories of how I played up with you, and the local mortician helped make you again. There was no man.
Are you ready to talk?
Maybe.
Gwendolyn.
And she sits down.
Gwendolyn, you live here.
No, I don't.
Gwendolyn,
That's silly.
This is where they put you.
What?
The stories, the tales, the lies, the before you left, they created this for you. You have to break out.
Who created this?
All of them, Gwendolyn. You know who you are. They didn't want you to know. You have to break out.
If you mean pushing that door, I can't with these arms. I'm serious. Unless you can help me out, I cannot get out of here.
Gwendolyn,
Your strength, it's not in your arms. It's in who you are. Everyone knows it. Everyone around you sees it. You just don't see it.
You just see a confused Gwendolyn. This is just a dream. Those memories weren't... Well, the vine might have been true, but that wasn't me. But that man, I don't know who that man was.
Davin, as you are awake and you're trying to shake off, you hear Gwendolyn sit up and say, "I don't know who that man was." And Gwen, you're awake and you're a little confused of what that was. What was that conversation? And you're kind of, the memories are off and weird, but maybe the real, what you remember is weird, but the dream wasn't, or you don't know. And it's all very confusing, but what you remember and what you realize with your experience with the fountain is your power, your ability to communicate with nature, with these plants and with animals and other creatures. This ability is very powerful, and you've become even more in tune with it. And you realize that over the last bit of time, you've become even more in tune with what you can do. And while all of the dream and the thoughts and the conversation with Dale is all very confusing, you find hope in that you're maybe becoming better. Maybe you're becoming better at what you're doing. And we're going to go to Kriggs. And Kriggs, you're...
Meanwhile, having an existential crisis.
Yeah. Kriggs, you're... The room you're in shifts to normal. And just after the room shifts, you shift back down, and you no longer feel this vibrating inside of you, of this energy pulsating through you, this radiant energy. But you feel that hum still. You don't hear it, and it's not obnoxious. It's not annoying. It's a relationship. It's a feeling of acceptance, and a feeling of this positive experience you've had with this hammer, and really with whatever is giving you this power and that humming. You feel like you can maybe channel that if you wanted to.
I'm gonna give that a go. I still have my hammer in my hand, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Totally holding your hammer still. Sorry. Yes.
And does it actually detach from my hand now? Because it seemed like it was pretty stuck on there for a second.
It cannot unless you will it to.
Oh. Okay.
It cannot be disarmed. So, yeah, that thing, it's your, it is in your hand unless you actively decide you don't want it to be.
I'm going to give a swing, and I'm going to kind of spin it over my head as I would more or less for exercise and not really attacking. It's a heavy handed hammer. I'm pulling it over my head, swinging it up kind of like behind my back, and just kind of getting a feel for it and feeling the weight of it, feeling different, that it sits in my hand slightly differently. And I'm going to take a real big swing, and like as if I was actually attacking something, but I am fully not used to the fact that it doesn't fit limber in my hand. And I'm still practicing more or less with the fact that it feels Velcro-y. And whenever the momentum catches and I don't loosen it into my grip and have the hilt basically slam against the butt of my palm as it's sliding in my hand, and kind of less of a dance and more like I'm being pulled by it, I definitely fall on my face that first swing.
When you swing and you begin to lose balance, but when you do, when the hammer hits the ground. You feel this pulse of radiant energy shoot through you and shoot through the hammer, even though you didn't cast anything extra to make it happen. And something's a little different, a little, I don't know, better.
Okay. Is all the grass and different things kind of still there?
Yeah, most of the floor though has shifted back into its normal state. Okay. But there is some remnants of what was grown still here and there strewn about.
I think I'm just going to kind of sit there and still just like toy with the kind of weird magnetism that I have now with my hammer and drop it, put my hand back on it, and then like open my hand flat out, but just still have it attached and like lift my arm and be like, well, this is something.
Awesome. So we see in the bunk room, we see Davin and Gwendolyn sitting kind of staring dumbfoundedly around the room, trying to kind of come down off whatever happened in their nightmares, dreams, visions, whatever it was. Joxer is sitting at the table in the dining hall across the hallway. And as he sits there with his hands on his head, kind of scratching, thinking about how much he just wants to spend more time with her, and just ask the questions he wants to ask and learn what he wants to learn. And then we see just down the hallway, we hear as Kriggs is swinging the hammer around, trying to get used to the way it feels now that it's changed. And everyone's at level 12 now and a little bit more powerful. And that's where we're going to leave this episode.
Neat. A little bit more crazy.
Yeah.
What's next?
Oh my God.
For a second, I thought you put me in a sane asylum.
Oh, like, God. Oh.
Maybe you are.
We'll see.
What if she's not here the entire time? She's crazy.
She's her own Gavin. Father.
Thank you for listening to this episodic installment of The Hired Swords. If you liked our show, tell a friend about us. And if you really liked our show, do us a favor and tell the world. It'd mean the world to us. If you want to keep up with us and all the behind-the-scenes goofs and gaffes, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at The Hired Swords. And you can also check out our merch shop at thehired.store. If you'd like to join our Discord and, well, chat with the gang, you can find that on our pinned tweet. And again, thank you so much for listening.